This is the Preservation Technology Podcast, bringing innovation to preservation. The Preservation Technology Podcast is a production of the National Center for Preservation Technology and Training, a unit of the National Park Service.
Hi, my name is Sadie Shuffler-Whitehurst, and I'm here with
Erlyn Johnson. I'm the project director of this project for the University of Louisiana Lafayette, Louisiana Public Archaeology Lab.
And I'm Matt Helmer. I'm the forest archaeologist for Kisatchie National Forest and an affiliate professor with Louisiana State University.
Thank you all for letting us come and visit the field school today. I guess you could start off by telling us a little bit about the site and why there's a field school happening here.
Okay, so there are a couple sites that we're at right now. They were first identified about 20 years ago in 2003 by a phase one survey by Pan American Associates. They did a number of shovel tests, and this site was considered to be especially relevant because they were coming up with just a large area, large densities of artifacts. So they were finding as many as 500 flakes in a 50 by 50 centimeter unit. And they were finding a variety of points. So there's a possible base of a Clovis, there's San Patrice points, and there are a number of earlier points as well. So there's a whole spectrum of remains all the way from the historic period to possibly Paleo-Indian, and three large concentrations. And so this was deemed by the Forest Service to be one of the more relevant sites to study. That's why we came here and why we decided to do a field school here. I don't know if Matt has any other things to add to that.
Sure. So this particular site that we're working on was part of a large hurricane relief project that we initiated after Hurricanes Laura and Delta significantly impacted western Louisiana, almost flattened the entire district here, the upturned trees everywhere. And this district has thousands of archaeological sites, and the archaeological sites were particularly hard hit as trees fall down and the root balls pull up archaeological material up to the surface and rip archaeological contexts out. And so we basically put together a relief request in association with all of our other resource areas for the Forest Service. So combined with salvage timber and all of our other resources, and we put some of the money that we received from Congress towards both archaeological salvage that we're doing here, as well as doing archaeological testing on some of our impacted sites to see if they're eligible for the National Register of Historic Places or not. So this site immediately, as Erlyn mentioned, stood out to us because it's about 100 acres in size combined between, it's broken up into two sites, but it's really one very large site across this entire, we're on the Drake's Creek drainage here. It basically follows a big floodplain. We're on a high point just above that, just a few miles from the Wiskatchita River. It's a very important location, would have been a great place to set up a camp, particularly possibly have a village site. And we have the entire sequence of occupation, as Erlyn mentioned, of the peopling of the Americas potentially. So from 13,000 years ago and the Ice Age, all the way through up to the present day. So that's why we chose this particular site. In addition to the hurricane damage here, there is a significant amount of looting. It's illegal to excavate on public lands. This particular site, heavily looted because of, I assume, the materials that the looters were finding. We convicted a looter on this site a couple of years ago. So combined between the storm damage and the looting, we really thought we've got to get some information and some salvage out of this archaeological site, get some attention towards it for preservation before it's completely lost.
What we did today, we brought one last unit down to level where the post molds were. We trowel cleaned everything. We sprayed it down. We took some pictures. We did a drawing. And what we're starting to do now is we're starting to excavate below the level of the post molds. We're going to move our way back and we're going to bisect, see their shapes and all that. And we're also just curious to see how much further down this goes. And at least from what we're seeing here, I mean, this is late archaic, possibly, maybe woodland. So in the shovel tests, even in one of the shovel tests close to here, there was a scraper that looked to be maybe early archaic, maybe maybe older. So, and also the phase one in this area, they came up with a San Patrice point, which is Paleo-Indian to early archaic. They came up with another Paleo-Indian to early archaic point as well. I can't remember that off the top of my head. So there might be some old stuff further down. That's what we're waiting to see.
Post-Moles doesn't sound very exciting, but in this part of Louisiana, we're very far from the Red River Valley, the Mississippi River Valley, where you typically have larger, more permanent village-type settlements. And most of, if not all of, the archaeological digs that have happened in this part of western Louisiana have not come up with evidence of more permanent occupation. It all looks like small ephemeral campsites where people are just coming through short-term campsite and then leave. And so we don't have a lot of evidence for intensive occupation. And one of the significances of a post-mold is that shows us that there was at least some sort of permanent structure here that would lend us to believe that this could have been a more permanent, a hamlet, a village site, something like that. And this would be the first of its kind that far out of the Mississippi River Valley or the Red River Valley. So that's what we're really trying to better understand here, is the intensity of occupation as well as the time depth, you know, the chronology of occupation too.
So the University of Louisiana Lafayette, we've given students a lot of opportunities to work with NRCS and do phase one shovel testing. But a number of the people that are working here with us now, they've participated in that sort of research. There have been other field schools in the past. A couple of years ago, there was a field school with the Quixada. But this is a pretty unique opportunity just to do large horizontal excavations to, and pretty much they've just taken part and learned all the different steps from setting out units to, you know, screening and identifying material to, you know, how to dig with a shovel, how to trowel clean. Just as we've gone along, we've pretty much just integrated them into work. And as we've gone along, they've gotten opportunities to try their hand at different things. And so this is a great opportunity for people to learn more about Louisiana archaeology, one of the few. I mean, Evergreen, of course, is another very different sort of opportunity that's going on right now for that.
Will there be opportunities like this in the future?
We've excavated, you know, with this project, less than 1% of this site. I would foresee, you know, whether for, you know, an academic investigation or Forest Service work down the line, potentially. We are moving to a second phase of this particular project with the agreement that we have with UL Lafayette. We're going to be moving to another area that was heavily impacted by the hurricane on the east side of our forest, where there's potentially new mound sites that are undiscovered, as well as a series of Coles Creek village sites. Yeah, there is certainly more to be done here, as sometimes you go home with more questions than answers. But I certainly hope that this will ignite a, you know, renewed interest in this area. Typically, we're doing Section 106 compliance. So we're doing, you know, surveys to identify sites and avoid them. We're not really investing in, you know, actually studying the sites that we manage and steward. And so, you know, one of the great things about this project for me has been to see the positive reception that we've received from Forest Service leadership and others, that they really see, oh, wow, like, you guys aren't just out there digging for little pieces of flakes. You know, they don't really understand what we do. And so this has been a great opportunity, not only to train students and the next generation of Louisiana archaeologists, but for us to show to all of the other folks that work in the Forest Service, you know, this is the significance of the resource that we manage. And so these are folks that we work with every day in, you know, silviculture and fire and biology and botany, for them to better understand what we do. And so hopefully in the future, there will be more support for projects like this from land management agencies.
How can we keep up with the progress of this project?
Well, after this, UL Lafayette's going to do a laboratory portion of their field school. So the students will also have an opportunity to kind of see full circle. So from the excavation portion of the project and design all the way through to the laboratory analysis, Dr. Reese and Dr. Johnson here will both be putting together a technical report based on this work. Fortunately, the Society for American Archaeology is meeting in New Orleans this April, which is timely for us. We hope to be able to have students present posters. We'll have talks and presentations, as, you know, it's still going to be pretty preliminary. It takes a long time for us to get from excavation to analysis to write up to really make sense of what we're looking at here. But, you know, that would be the next big event would be, you know, an SAA poster session potentially, you know, working potentially the LAS session that we talked about. And then after the technical report, we'll look into, I think there's several publications that we can publish based on this work, potentially including a book. So we've got a lot of ideas in the works. And then one of the things that I'd like to do is increase the, what we call interpretation. So, you know, something along some of our hiking trails on this district or recreation sites where we can put some of the information out here for the public, because this is all public land and a lot of people are really interested in the archaeology of this area. So we hope to be able to put some informational panels and things like that out on some of our trails so people know the history of the place that they're coming to recreate in.
Well, awesome. Thank y'all for talking with me, and I wish y'all luck with the rest of the work here.
Yeah, thank you.
Can't wait to hear more.
This was a presentation of the Preservation Technology Podcast, produced by the National Center for Preservation Technology and Training. To find more podcasts like this one, please visit our website,